Good morning, all. It is a great privilege to meet you all on this Monday meeting. Let's give a small word of prayer. Lord, we surrender this time unto your hands. Lord, we know that everything that is created by you, and you are the one who rules the whole world. Lord, speak to us on this fresh day, Lord. Lord, help us to understand the secrets of your kingdom. Help us to be your child and help us to be a victorious person in the forthcoming days. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, use us, we pray. Amen. When I was praying about this meeting, God gave me the topic on gospel of the kingdom. So regarding the gospel of the kingdom, we can find the secrets of kingdom's gospel in many places. So wherever Jesus went to preach the word of God, he used to preach about the kingdom. So we can read a verse from Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them all. See, as we see that everywhere Jesus goes, he starts with preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is an awesome one, because the gospel says the good news. It basically means the good news of the kingdom. As soon as we come to know about the good news of the kingdom, like probably we could also make that good news manifest in our lives. So that is another verse from Mark chapter 1. And I've taken amplified version for this particular verse. And verse number 14 and 15. Now, after John the Baptist was arrested and taken into custody, Jesus went to Galilee, preaching the good news of God and saying, "The appointed period of time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, change your inner self, your old way of thinking, regret past sins, live your life in a way that proves repentance. Seek God's purpose for your life and believe with a deep abiding trust in the good news regarding salvation." So when John the Baptist got arrested, then Jesus started to preach. And when he preaches about the good news of the kingdom. See, many of them, they think that the kingdom of God is really tough, or it's really hard to enter into it. But it is not so. It was, but it is not so, because when Jesus has died on the cross, and when he is resurrected, he made a beautiful way for us to enter into the kingdom of God. So whoever accepts the Lord becomes a person in the kingdom of God. He also becomes the child of God, as we all know those things. But here the word says that when he teaches the good news of God, the verse 15 says that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. So when Jesus has come onto this earth, one thing really happens. What happened is there is a split between the human mankind and God. And Jesus came to take away the gap between the human mankind and the God. And he himself came in flesh, and he wanted to show that we are his own people. And that is why he came to deliver us from the sinful nature. And he wants us to get united with the God's kingdom. And that is why he says that appointed period of time is fulfilled. So this period has been appointed by the Lord much before this. And the kingdom of God is at hand. So anyone who wants to reach the kingdom of God can easily reach his kingdom. And that is what the word means here. And there are something which we have to say that I'm just elaborating the same verse. The appointed period of time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. So what do you have to do? So that is what God says. So we all know that we hear the news of wars, we hear the news of troubles, earthquake, we hear lots of destruction happening around the world. But God says the kingdom is at hand. So how does it work? See, these are the signs for his coming. But before Jesus comes into this earth, there are certain things which has to happen on this earth. And the foremost thing that has to happen is the kingdom of God. It has to come and it has to, you know, everyone has to know about the kingdom of God. And what happens when kingdom of God comes into one's person? We have to repent. And that is what the word says, repent, change your inner self. We may not go as per the world is leading us. We have to take our own stand in this world. As it says in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, do not be confronted by the pattern of this world. Suppose if you want to know the will of God, we want to know what plan God has for us, then we cannot be confronted from this world. If we are confronted with this world, then we may not know what is the will of God. Suppose if we are into the will of God, if we want to enter into the kingdom of God, then Jesus gives us hints like what are the things that we have to do. We have to repent. How do we repent? Our old way of thinking has to disappear. Our regret, past sins, has to be regretted. Live your life in a way that proves repentance. A lot of people, they say like, I got repented. I got delivered. And when a problem strikes into their life, they say, you do not know me. You do not know my past. You know who I am. And they try to bring their old flesh into the life. See, that is not what God wants us to have. He wants us to live a life in a way that proves repentance. When they see see our way of life, then the people should understand, yes, his life has been transformed because I know him a long back and his life right now is not the same. He is really changed. He is really transformed in a different way. So that is the testimony that we want to hear from the people surrounding us. So when we live a life that proves the repentance, then that life makes a meaning and that life will touch a number of people in our marketplace. And through us, through our testimony, they will accept the Lord and they will get into the kingdom of God. And the last and the next point is seek God's purpose for your life. Yes. Does God has a purpose for a person's life? Yes, he do. He does have purpose for each and every one of us in specific. We may think I'm into this business and the people of this business, they work in this style, they have this attitude, so let me also have that attitude, let me also work in this style. It is not we can follow anything that is positive, but anything that is negative, we are not supposed to follow the pattern of this world, because God's purpose for our life through our business is completely different than what they are into. They are into the business for the sake of money and power, but we are into the business for the sake of the calling. So God has called us to be the leaders of different organizations, but that leadership God gives for the expansion of his kingdom. So that should come into our mind, that should flashes into our mind, because the life that we are holding right now is not ours, it belongs to Christ himself. So when Christ has given us a life, then we want to prove the life worthy of living for his glory. So we have to seek God's purpose for our life. So how to seek God's purpose for our life? When we ask God, in Jeremiah 33 verse 3, it says that ask unto me and I will show you the things that you do not know. So when we are supposed to ask God for certain things which we do not know, suppose if our purpose is not clear, then we are supposed to sit on prayer, sit on meditation with the Lord and we can talk to the Lord and get the purpose of our life. And the last point given here is believe with a deep abiding trust in the good news. And this, there comes the point. How many of us really believe the good news? Really believe what God has done on this earth? Really believe the power of the kingdom of God? If we believe the power of the kingdom of God, our life will be totally transformed. In other words, like we can see in the in Matthew 4 and verse number 23, as soon as Jesus was preaching the gospel of kingdom, then certain signs also follow with that. What are the signs? Healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among people. So when the gospel comes to a person or to a group of people, then one more thing happens, one more thing follows, and that is healing of any kind of sickness. It can be a cancer, it can be a final stage of cancer, it can be any diseases which doctors say that cannot be cured in this world, but still Jesus can. And his kingdom has come to us just for that sake, to deliver people from the sicknesses, to deliver people from the troubles, to deliver people from the bondages which they are in. I hail from a family where my grandparents do not know about Jesus. But I was earnestly seeking the Lord. I used to go to temples every 3 days or 4 days in a week. I used to sit in the temple and I used to ask God, if you are real God, show me, talk to me. And I heard no sound at all. But as years passed by, I know that it is Jesus who spoke to me. And through Jesus, I accepted the truth. So when I accept the truth, I came to a mindset where I want only Jesus. So I left all my family, all my friends beside, and I took Jesus at hand. When I took Jesus and I started to live a life in Jesus, I found my life was totally, totally transformed. Not only my life, the people who are surrounding me, they come with sickness, they get healed. If they come with a bondage, they get delivered. Even their clients, when they come for business, instead of speaking the world business, I speak about the kingdom business to them. And a lot of people have accepted the Lord. A lot of my workers at my workplace have accepted the Lord. And from a lot of non-believers' family, they are right now converted into a kingdom family or Christ family. And I'm so happy about that because, see, when a person accepts the Lord through us, then we have something being stored in heaven for our heavenly life. Many people think that heavenly life and earthly life is all doesn't make much difference, but it actually makes much difference. And people, they all feel that in heavenly life, we don't have any differences. Everyone is treated equally. No, it's not. Actually, there are differences for people in the heaven. There are small in the kingdom of God and there are big in the kingdom of God. So how to become big in the kingdom of God? So when we do the words of, when we follow the words of Christ, when we do his work on this earth, when we glorify his name, when we deliver people, when we lead people to his kingdom, then we become big there. So that is what, as Christians, we should know that, and we should try to become that. We all know that we do have targets for the quarter, targets for the half yearly, targets for the year in business. But do we have any target for the kingdom of God in our lives? Because we all know that after Corona, every day, every minute that we are living is the grace from the Lord. And it is the Lord who has protected us. Today, if you are 29 people are here, and all these 29 people would have gone through a lot of bad news, saying that that relative is no more, this friend is no more, this neighbor is no more. But by the grace of God, God has protected each and every one of us and has made us alive today. So if God has given us this life, we should able to give something back to him, being thankful to him. So we have to think, are we living that life according to the plan of God? So in this, I'm taking the last part, believe in the good news. And the good news is regarding the salvation. The salvation is what God is expecting from his people. And God wants people to understand about salvation. Let us take a scenario. Does the salvation comes only in the New Testament? No, actually the salvation has been promised in the Old Testament itself. The salvation says something like this. There are many people in the Old Testament who talks about the salvation. We can read that from Genesis 49:18, where Jacob says, I have waited for your salvation, O Lord. And from Exodus 14:13, we can see that Moses talks about salvation. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Yeah, let's take this part. Moses advises people, or he says people, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What was the salvation promised during that time? Is he will accomplish the thing for you, and you will never see the Egyptians whom you see today. You will never see them in your life. The enemy will never again come into your lives. So that is what Moses promised. When these people, they believed in the salvation of the Lord, they have been blessed with the salvation by the Lord. We all know what happened to the Egyptians on the same day, how God saved his people. The part here is, are we believing the salvation of the Lord? If we believe in the salvation of the Lord, the same God who has done to the Israelites through Moses is able to do the salvation in our life through Jesus Christ today. How can we see the salvation manifest in our life? The enemies, probably, we shouldn't have any enemies, probably, even if we have any enemies. From today onwards, if we believe this word, then you will not see that enemy anymore in our life. If we trust that, if we have faith in the Lord, if we strongly believe the goodness of salvation, then this will come to pass in our lives even today. Even as we believe, God will work on our behalf. And that is what God expects his people, to believe the good news of the salvation. And even in the Song of Moses, in Exodus 15:2, Moses speaks on salvation. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. And you can also find the salvation spoken by Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 13. But Saul said, not a man shall be put to death this day, for today the Lord has accomplished salvation in Israel. So what Saul says is, when salvation comes to a people, to a country, nobody is going to die in that country. So even if we are alive, then already it means that salvation has come to our family. So Hannah says about salvation in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 1. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. Are we able to smile at our enemies? Yes, if we cannot smile, then we have to rejoice in the salvation of the Lord. If we are rejoicing in the salvation of the Lord, then we can smile at the enemies, and the heart can rejoice in the Lord. As David says in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse number 3, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. So it is David. David, when he sings Psalms, when you read Psalm, you can find number of words David used about salvation. See, David is a person who has undergone a lot of war and a lot of tribulation in his life. But still, at every time he comes up with praises to the Lord, whenever he prays the Lord, he says that you are my salvation, Lord, and my salvation is from the Lord. And when he confesses that, that manifest in his life, and we all know that still he's called as the King David. Even though we have a lot of kings in the Old Testament, but King David has a special place because he relies on the salvation of the Lord. And even Job says, he also shall be my salvation. Job confesses that it is only Jesus who is his salvation. And about salvation, even a lot of prophets are prophesying, from Isaiah to every prophet you name, everyone would have said about this salvation. But I've taken one verse from Zechariah, verse chapter 9 and verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. See, God wants us to rejoice. Why you have to rejoice? We have to rejoice because Jesus has come to us and he has given us the salvation. So when we realize that the salvation has come into our lives, automatically our life will be filled with the rejoicing of the Lord. And here comes the word, how does the salvation manifest in the New Testament? The Simeon, we all know Simeon. The Simeon sees God's salvation in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 25 onwards. When we read that, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came up by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. So here Simeon clearly mentions that this salvation has come to the people through Jesus Christ. And because of the salvation which came through Jesus Christ, the revelation has been given to Gentiles, even to us. The revelations has been given, and even for the glory of his people Israel. So we have to believe in the salvation which God has given us. And when Jesus comes into Zacchaeus' house, the salvation comes into his house, as Jesus says in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 9. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And Peter says about the salvation in Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 10. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. And 12th verse says, nor is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Yes, there is only one name that is given on this earth, and that the name is Jesus. So we have been given that name, and through that name, the salvation has come to our life, and the salvation has come to our family, and the salvation has come to our people. So we have to believe that, and we have to confess that, and we have to take this salvation to other people. As it says in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Yeah, we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because the power of God, the salvation has to come to all. So before Jesus has to come during his next visitation, next coming of Jesus, this good news has to be spoken to all the people. So how do you get the salvation. The Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Yes, we'll be saved when we confess this with your mouth and believe in your heart. And the verse number 10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let's all bow down for a minute of prayer. Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the salvation that has come unto this earth. Lord, thank you for the good news that comes from the heaven. Lord, we accept the good news. And we are here because we have accepted you as a personal savior. Lord, thank you for putting us all together in unity. We are all united through one person called Jesus Christ. And we will be united in heavenly kingdom also through the same name. Lord, thank you for giving us this beautiful blessing, O Lord. Lord, this week be a starting for a blessing. Let the salvation which we have received be given to the whole world. Let it be given to our families. Let it be given to our friends. Let it be given to our workplace people. Lord, help us to understand your power. Help us to take your power. Help us to take your word. Help us to take your salvation to the people who are mostly in need of it. Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord, be with your people. Lord, it is your land. We pray for the peace. Lord, you protect your people, Lord. You defend your people, Lord. Lord, you give peace unto Jerusalem. Let peace prevail in Jerusalem, Lord. Lord, we pray for every CBMC members, for every one of their business. Lord, let salvation come into every one of us. Let salvation come into every one of our businesses, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, give us the blessing. Give us the power of the good news of the gospel. Let it manifest in all our lives, in all our businesses, Lord. Let it bring glory to you and to your kingdom. Lord, use every one of us. Use every one of us. Help us to understand the purpose that we have in you, that you have. Lord, help us to understand why you have created us and the purpose behind our creation and the purpose behind us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Lord, open up the gates of heaven and bless everyone abundantly. Every business be blessed by the heavenly gifts, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray in one accord. Amen.